What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Student Leadership Podcast.
We're here.
I'm here. My name is Jordan Kalerick. I'm joined by the one and only, the founder of Lead the Generation.
Oh, goodness.
Come on, somebody. It's Aaron Holt.
Stop.
Do you have a, if you were a prize fighter, would you have a, like a middle nickname like Aaron the Terror Holt? Would you have something like that?
I don't know.
Think about it. Pray about it.
Okay.
We'll ask for an update at the end of the episode.
Okay, good.
But more importantly than your nickname, we've got Peter Reeves back for part two. Not really part two. We just got him for another episode. What's up, Peter?
What's going on, bro? One of my favorite things on the planet is when people introduce themselves with the nickname they gave themselves.
Peter, what's your nickname?
You're like, what's yours? What's, my name's Edward, but people call me Killer. Like, who calls you that? I call myself that.
I just thought. I'm a killer. Yeah. At what point did they discover, like, this is who I am?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's got to be given.
And that's, I always say that to people. Like, there was this guy in Arizona this week. His name is Thomas, but people call him Blue. And I was like, did he just give himself, like, and then somebody's like, no, he has blue eyes. So I was like, oh. Okay, all right.
Yeah, it always really is the most random reason. Like, they call me Blue because of my blue eyes. It's like, doesn't a lot of people have blue eyes? Oh, well, whatever. Hey, Peter, first of all, stop real quick. I'm not talking to you, Peter. I'm talking to everybody listening. If you did not listen to the last episode, Peter did. And the corresponding overtime episode, what are you doing? You got to go back. You got to make that happen because it was so good. It was that good.
You're the only person I know that can say it that way.
What are you doing?
I mean, that's
my actual reaction. It's like, come on, you dingus. Get back there and listen to it. But it was so nice. We had to make it twice. We brought Peter back. Peter, before we get into some content, though, I got a question. Best smell. What is your favorite smell? Ooh. You got a good sense of smell? You look like a man who he's got a great sense of smell.
Yeah. Immediately, I'm like, I'm in my cologne days, man. Like, I'm buying, but I feel like favorite smell.
This era.
This is weird because I used to hate this.
Wait, I just have this vision of like junior high Peter Reeves.
No,
with just like a shelf of about a dozen different colognes and choosing all which one he wants to store. Use before he goes to school.
And they smell like feet. They were disgusting. They were mad cheap, right? My mom was like, "These are African colognes." I was like, "It smells like the jungle." I feel like favorite smell right now.
He's cooking. I see him. Look at him thinking.
Okay, this is like just a little turn right here. I know there's going to be some people that resonate with this. Favorite smell right now, gas.
You need delivered. Your favorite smell is gas?
Wow.
It really, bro, I'm telling you right now, I didn't like it. It's gas, bro.
Dude, the guys in the studio are agreeing with you. I'm shocked right now.
Not like gas farts. Not like
no,
farts.
No, I know
like,
that.
Like gas.
Like gasoline. Like you're pumping gas. Your car. Wow.
You're pumping it. And you're like, this is what happened to me the other day. I'm pumping gas. And I get a little gas on my hand. And I'm like, oh, man. And then I'm driving and I go like this.
No.
Bro, Peter, is this because your kids are young and there's a lot of scent that comes with like having young kids?
There's a lot of scent.
Yeah.
Yo, these kids, we could sing Christian nursery rhymes, but then they poop in their diaper. They're demonic. You ever cast a demon out of a diaper? Yo, it's gas.
Yo,
these guys in the studio, they know what's up.
I didn't see that coming.
I am not one of those guys in the studio, but they are nodding. They agree. I was going to ask your favorite cologne, but I don't know if I want that opinion anymore after that.
Favorite cologne, though, it's very affordable, people.
Oh, all
right. Versace Eros. It's not even that expensive.
Jordan's like, looking it up right now.
I'm writing it down for later.
He's already got it in his Amazon cart. Yep.
It's like $50. It lasts all day. It is like a nice smell.
All right.
You're going to walk around people and they're going to, people who hated you before, oh, you wear that? They like you now.
Okay. Like you. All right. Well, I've learned so much. Yeah. We could
flunked out of school. Does not matter. You spray that on, your success.
Wow. Oh, here we go. Oh, it's on sale. It's on sale. Yeah. We got a discount on Amazon.
I did a study for my test, but I got an A on it. boop, boop. Yep, that's it. Versace Eros.
Oh, you're crazy, Peter, and that's why we love you. Hey, we brought you back for more than just cologne recommendations, though. We really did, although we appreciate them. Peter, talk to our student leaders. Give us something that we can discuss. What's a leadership principle for students that are listening in right now?
Yeah, yeah. I think that every student, week to week, should have their pulse on what encourages them, what annoys them, what inspires them, and what challenges them when it comes to leadership.
Okay, whoa.
Every single week.
You gotta run it back.
Yeah.
Because those were four. So
four things. Encourage,
yep.
Annoy, challenge, inspire. Encourage, annoy, challenge, inspire. Okay. And the reason I say that week to week is because you want to lead people out of what you're actually experiencing and what you're feeling. A lot of times, maybe, I don't know if students are listening to this, and maybe one day you want to be a speaker. This is my speaking format right now. Like, I use it religiously.
Oh, I love this.
I've just been in my season, like where my last five sermons have been in this format. I share with them, I'll read a scripture verse, and I share with them what encourages me. Man, this part really encouraged me. What annoyed me? Because more people will connect with you about what annoys you,
yes,
than what encourages. I'm telling you, you ever see, dude, this happened to me the other day. I'm standing in this long line waiting for food, and I go, this is so annoying that they say they're fast and they're not, right? Like, and the guy turns around and he goes, you're so right, right? And we start talking about how this annoys us, and then he goes, what's your favorite sports team, right? And then we start talking about sports, and then we connected initially over what annoyed us. Sometimes that happens, but I want people to know what annoys me because I want them to know this is what I'm working through. What challenged me, right? I was really challenged by that. Wow, that's a big deal. And then what left me inspired. Students should have a pulse on what that feels like for them every week so that they can speak out of that place. Because a lot of students, look, a lot of students will say, even if they're student leaders, like we have the same generic conversations. How are you, man? How are things going? How'd you like that? What's up in your life, right? Like the conversations are so boring. And yes. So, in my opinion, they're just so similar. But now when you start having a pulse on, even just in your daily life, like what is encouraging, inspiring you, annoying you, challenge you, now you can have deep, meaningful conversations that move you forward and help other people move forward. You need this as a leader. As a leader, people should get around you and get better.
Yes.
So if you have a pulse on what encourages you, annoys you, challenges you, inspires you, you can speak at a deeper level with people. And
I also think it would bring about more authentic conversation.
Yeah.
You're talking about, correct. Like, you're saying like, yeah, we say the same stuff because we kind of don't know what to say. It's Christian small talk. Yeah. It's correct. We mean it well though. I think that student leaders are trying. Like, all right, I have to be a greeter.
The heart's in the right place.
Yeah, but we don't freaking know what to say.
Yeah.
And can I say this, Peter? It feels a little unspiritual to talk about what annoys us. Can I zoom in on that one? Why are you allowing us to talk about what annoys us? I feel like, you know, as Christians, okay, I don't actually feel like this, but I think a lot of people feel like we're supposed to not be annoyed by anything. Greater is he who's in me who's overcome the world. You know, like I can't be annoyed at things. How do you feel like that helps students?
Yeah, because it allows students to see like the humanness of leadership, the humanity or people that you're leading. Like if you're a student leader and you're around, you know, and now you got to do this with discretion. I'm not talking about like your youth pastor preaches a word. You're like, that's annoying. Right? Like that. Come on. Come on. Like stop, hate please. It. You know, but I'm talking about like things that are things that everyone's thinking. Like, okay, like you, like a scripture verse, like greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. That kind of annoys me a little bit, if I'm being honest, because I don't always feel like he's greater in me.
Yeah.
Like, let's talk about that. I don't feel like he's greater in me and my wife get into an argument. Like, I'm not like, dang, wow, he's greater in me, right? I don't feel like he's greater in me than when I have to scream at my toddlers or when like I'm in traffic or I'm late or I can't find what I'm looking for. That kind of annoys me. And then I can unpack why it annoys me. Well, it's annoying because whatever, da-da, 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 da-da. And that kind of helps us get to a more realistic, relatable point. Sometimes when we talk about what annoys us, it helps us become relatable.
Yes.
Yeah. You
yes.
know, one of my favorite messages I've ever heard, my favorite preacher on the planet, besides Pastor Aaron, is Bishop T.D. Jakes, bro. Bishop Jakes always does this. He'll like read something and he'll be like, yo, isn't this so annoying? Like, you know, like, he'll be like, this woman, like he'll just like share a text and be like, it, like their position is annoying, or their attitude is annoying, or their fear is annoying. Or like he preached about Elisha, you know, or Elijah seeing the fire fall from Mount Carmel, and then he runs because he's running from Jezebel. He's like, that's so annoying, bro. You just saw fire from heaven. Yeah. He goes, but I feel that. I see that in myself. Like, why do I have the ability to see God move greatly and then immediately run from him in the next moment? It's like, what's going on in me? That's annoying that I respond. So I don't know. It just really helps me.
I agree. Aaron, do you want to say something?
Well, I was just going to ask you, Peter, like, so say all four of them again: encouraging, challenging, annoying, inspiring, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Correct.
So real practically, walk us through each one of them and talk to students that are listening, junior high school, college students, talk to students that are listening at a very practical level. How do they develop this discipline, or how do they put this practice into place on a weekly basis?
Yeah. So this is, first of all, the way it got fleshed out in my life is in my prayer life first. I was looking for a format to communicate with God that was authentic to who I am, right? So I know some people are like, just pray the scriptures. I'm like, I tried that. Okay. Like that was really hard, especially when I started getting the weird scriptures where they were killing people and sacrificing animals. I was like, God, like, I mean, I guess I can find a goat on eBay. Like, I don't know, but like, okay. So for me back though, that's how I got my prayer format down initially. Like I was like, God, here's what I'm really encouraged by. I talked to him about it. I'm really encouraged by this leader. I'm really encouraged by this scripture verse right now. I'm really encouraged by this situation. I'm really encouraged by, you know, this book right now. God, thank you for this, whatever, God, I'm really annoyed by, I feel like, okay, like, let's just be super transparent. God, I'm a pastor, but I feel like right now I'm real irritable. Like a lot of things are pushing me and I'm really frustrated. I'm really frustrated with this family member. Ooh, that might be too real.
Come on.
God, I am annoyed by this family member that you called me to minister to. Like, I don't want to talk to them. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm really annoyed by, Lord, I felt like you told us to step out in faith over this thing here. And I'm annoyed that I feel like I haven't heard from you or seen how you're moving on that thing. Right. So just that helped me there. Like, just talk to God about, and just, man, when I started doing that, bro, like, I felt like the Lord was like taking me to scripture verses and places where like, he would speak to those things in my life. Okay.
I feel like half of the Psalms are David just being annoyed.
Yes.
Yes. And they're so, he's good. So real. They're so good. Yeah. He's complaining. He's like, God, why are you letting them prosper?
Yeah.
Why? That's annoying that my enemies are prospering. Yeah. That's annoying that these people are trying to attack me. That's right. Like, that's what he's doing. And then in spot, like, challenge, right? Like, I'm like, God, I'm really challenged by this word I heard. Or I'm really challenged by this verse, right? Like, just again, going back to that tension where I'm like, okay, like I just read this verse. Like, it says in Psalms 40, I believe it says, like, worship God if you want the best, because worship opens all the doors to his goodness. I'm like, God, I'm really challenged by that. Like, I want to be a worshiper. One of the biggest challenges in my life right now is like, I'm like, as a pastor and just as a Christian, I want to be the most thankful person on the planet.
That's my
challenge right now. Right. So every day I'm just kind of spending time, like, finding things to be thankful for in every moment, because that's what I want. I want to be the most thankful person on the planet. And I'm talking to God about that. God, I want to be more thankful. Help me to see what you see so I can be more thankful. And then lastly, inspired, right? Like, I want to talk to God about what inspires me. And this, I feel like, does a good job with, like, bringing me not back down to reality, but like, okay, like, I'll see a pastor or a preacher that I really like, and they're preaching somewhere. Now I'm like, wow, it's really cool that they get to do that. And I go, God, that inspires me. I tell the Lord,
yeah,
right? I don't hate on them, comment on their picture, well, that really wasn't a good word, and then like go gossip about them. No, I just say like, okay, like, that inspires me. Like, yeah. I love that, Lord. Right. I want to be real with God about what I feel like is moving my heart, and then allow the Lord to go, hey, I know that's inspiring to you, but that's a little superficial. Or I know that's inspiring to you, but like, that's not actually my heart. And I know that's inspiring to you, but right. And check me, but I want to talk to him about that. So first it started out in my prayer life. Then it transferred over into my teaching, because I realized like people are encountering these emotions, one of them at least, in every message they listen to, every talk they sit in, whether it's a leadership setting, whether it's a sermon, right? Like, have you ever been, this has happened to me plenty of times, like someone's giving a leadership talk and they say something that I'm like, oh man, like that's super challenging, or that's really encouraging, or man, that's annoying because I don't know how I'm going to do that. Like that,
yeah.
that people are experiencing those emotions. I just want to be real about where I'm at on those things.
Yes.
And then communicate to them. So okay. That's what I would say.
I have two thoughts of what I like about Peter. Well, not just you, but
is one of them annoying?
No, I'm not annoyed at all. I'm 0% annoyed.
Share your truth, bro. Share your truth.
Students, if you're not aware, something that Peter does so well, and Peter, I observed this about you at summer camp. Peter has tangible tools that help teach us emotional awareness. Peter, you are constantly having students take what they're feeling inside and giving them filters for it. And I love that. Like, I'm feeling something. What is it? For me, it was just either pumped or mad as a teenager. Like yeah. that, I was either I thumbs up or thumbs down was about the spectrum of emotional awareness that I had. I love that yeah. you're giving words like what's inspiring you, what's challenging you. Those are two different feelings.
Yeah.
You know, to yes. be challenged by something and then to be inspired. Now they're similar, but I love that because when we read the Bible slowly and we're asking, let's get into the nuance. What am I feeling? It's you get more out of the Bible other than like, I agree with what I just read. Go figure. It's the Bible.
Yeah.
Or like, yeah. that's good. I love Peter that you're giving us a filtration system. Let me ask you a nuanced question that you might not have a perfect answer for, but let's go into maybe a student is like, I don't know the difference between being inspired versus challenged or, you know, encouraged versus challenged. How do you filter through some of those feelings? Because I think as we are learning what's going on internally, we can then respond appropriately to the Bible. Can you walk us through some of that, you know, I don't know, emotional awareness with Peter Reeves just for a second?
Well, let me say this though, first, before I answer, like I appreciate you saying that, but like, even as a student, I learned that there's two things students will say to me after I share. They will either go, you made me cry, or that was so funny. And I didn't recognize that until I had a conversation with a friend, Terry Parkman, a mutual friend of all of us. Terry said, that's the only two things that students say is either you made me laugh or you made me cry, you know? And so like, I'm trying to help them get to the place of self-discovery, which is why I use a lot of language like that, because until you can discover like, oh, for yourself, this is what's going on. That's when things begin to stick and click. So here's my filter for like inspire, challenge, encourage is right now and someday.
Oh my
God. Right now.
I love this.
Someday.
I'm leading forward, so like, Peter.
So like inspired means someday I would love to have some version of that or be in that same kind of opportunity. So that's the inspiring. I'm looking to the future and I want students to do that, man.
Yes.
Our God is, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Right. So that's kind of the same filter I'm using, right? Like encouraged is right now. I am hopeful. I feel like this is doable, right? I feel like I understand this right now. I'm encouraged by that. Right. Challenge again is a right now feeling, but this is like, man, I'm gonna have to work to get there. You know, like it's doable. I can see how it's gonna better my life, but I need to put some work in there to get that done. Right.
Yes.
So that's how I would say is that my filtration is between all of them. But let me say this about annoyed. At the altar, my favorite question to ask students is, hey, you know, after I ask them what God has spoken to them, I say, did anything annoy you about that message tonight? Not because I need their feedback, but because when they share what annoyed them, now we can get somewhere. Like I had a kid one time tell me, man, it's annoying because you kept saying God does miracles, except I haven't seen him do them.
Yes.
What a conversation we had. Yeah. By the end of the week, he was laying hands on kids praying for miracles.
Yes, let's go.
Or someone says to me, like, I feel like, someone said, it annoys me that I feel like we talk more about sin than we talk about God's grace. I said, let's go.
Yeah.
Someone said, it's annoying to me that, you know, I can't sit in church without remembering my past, to them, which I would say to them, hey, you got to get over that because the scripture tells us that his mercies are new for us every morning.
Yes.
God doesn't just want to talk about where you've been. He wants to talk about where he's taking you. So he's forgiving you. You've got to forgive yourself, right? Sometimes those lead to the best conversations.
Come on. Yeah, that's so good. So that's I actually was thinking that exact line when we do our overtime episode would be so good because us bringing our authentic self allows God to actually be able to really speak to us. As long as we're not being honest, we're putting on church front church clothes, say the right things, we're not going to actually open ourselves up to have what God has for us permeate into our hearts and into our minds. We kind of almost have like a church wall up when we're not being authentic. Okay, Peter, this is obviously for student leaders. So I'm going to say kind of an if-then statement that I'd like your help on. It feels like you're kind of saying this. If students do the work of emotional awareness when they're reading the Bible, listening to a message, to filter through what are the things I'm feeling? What am I annoyed at, inspired by, you know, all those things? Then it will help us lead people better? Question mark. What do you think? How does this principle help students to actually be better leaders in whatever area they're leading?
Yeah, I think it helps us because it makes us relatable. That's like the main thing I'm after. But then it also helps us help other people process what they're feeding. And that is leadership. I know that might feel hefty for student leaders. You're like, dude, I'm in junior high. Like, my mom still packs my lunch, bro. What do you mean helping people emotionally? But let me say this, like, even as a junior higher, like, you guys are experiencing things that traditionally years ago that high schools experienced, and high school kids are experiencing things that college kids experience. And college kids are experiencing things that people in their 30s didn't experience. Right. So it's like everyone has had to take the step up emotionally no matter what.
Oh yeah.
So this is helpful because it can help you connect with people. It can help you understand people a little bit better, and then it can help you be real, and you can, the biggest thing is this, it kills the imposter in you, which is the number one way people lose their leadership gift, is they become an imposter.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when you're constantly filtering through this and you're having those conversations, even as a junior higher, right? Like, I'll tell you this, my first sign of becoming an imposter was in junior high, eighth grade student leader. And we had like a time where people were giving out prayer requests, and I learned the power of an unspoken. What that meant is that I was struggling with pornography, and I didn't want anybody to know because it I didn't want to not be that. A student leader. That was the start of me being an imposter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah, and so like, instead, if I would have had some language, I could have been like, hey, this is a prayer request, but I'm annoyed. I'm annoyed that I have a lust problem.
Yes.
Like, it's annoying. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't want to lose my position, and I don't want to have, you know, I could have shared a little more.
Yes.
Openly. I don't. Does that make sense?
Oh, it makes so much sense. But
I feel like that. Yeah. There's so many different ways you can apply these four words, like, as filters for emotional awareness, for how we pray, for how we connect with people. As I was listening to you talk just now, Peter, I was thinking you could take these four things here and apply it to the way you, in a healthy way, filter social media and all of your intake. Right. So just practice.
And that's why you get paid the big bucks. That is so good.
But there's just a lot of different ways. I mean, you're bringing such great content to the podcast, Peter. We're grateful for that. But there's a lot of different ways that you can apply what you're saying here in many different areas of our life, in leadership, in being a follower of Christ, in just practical everyday life.
Hey,
and I think you do see it in the Psalms. If you go, when you read the Psalms, you see all four of these. You see, and David,
for sure,
who's the primary writer of most of them, it's here it is. And you kind of touched on it a minute ago, Jordan, and you as well, Peter, but when you're talking about like being an imposter or imposter syndrome, it's really hard for God to heal what you and I won't reveal. Mm. And I think one of the reasons why David was still called a man after God's own heart, even though he had incredible mistakes that in today's culture would have, you know, canceled him from ministry, so to speak. He laid it all out there for God every single time. I mean, when you read the Psalms, I mean, you see David saying stuff like in regards to his enemies, he's like, make their children fatherless. You know what I mean? He's praying stuff like that to God.
My man is going through some stuff. Yeah.
He's annoyed. He's way annoyed. I love this, Peter. I love how you
kind of. Can I say this though? Like, even that thought about King David, like, these four things help me depend on God, is just what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
And like, that was the only thing that got King David, like, that God really punished him for. He did not punish him for Bathsheba, but he did punish David for taking his census, right? He started counting his men when God told him not to. Right?
Yeah.
Like, Bathsheba happens. God doesn't really do anything to David, but David takes a census of his men, and God kills like 70,000 people from under his leadership. And it's like, why did that happen? He lost dependency. I want to be dependent on God. That's where these filters come from. And you're right. It does help me in multiple areas. Even in my relationship with my wife, I'm talking to her, I'm like, hey, what's inspiring you this week? Oh, this, what's annoying you? She's like, you. I'm like, oh, you know, it's like, let's talk about these things. They really help. I really appreciate it.
And even when you're talking about leadership and we have conversations about, you know, we all want to be the best leader that we can be. Mm-hmm. God can't anoint what you're pretending to be. He can only anoint who you really are. And so coming to grips with that, having that level of self-awareness is so helpful for us. He created us on purpose for a purpose, right? And so discovering that and walking in that in truthfulness and transparency and realness, all of that is what you're talking about. These principles help with that.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Beautiful. Be who you really are. Stop praying unspokens. 36 yes, stop unspokens.
It. No more unspokens. Stop the cap. Peter, thank you so much. We're gonna link all your social in the show notes. So if students want to reach out, please do that to our boy Peter. He's a family member here at the Lead the Generation podcast. Absolutely. Yeah, we're so grateful for you, Peter. Hey, students, if you made it this far, do us a favor. If you're not following us or not subscribed, make sure that happens, and please leave a review. We like those reviews. They help us. They help other people to find great content and find our podcast. Students, we believe in you. We love you. Continue, please, to lead your generation. Do it with passion for Christ and, of course, love for others. We'll see you on the next one. See you guys.